All right, we've now officially been joined by our pole sitter for Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series race here at Chicagoland Speedway, Denny Hamlin. We'll go ahead and take questions for Denny. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll work to get to as many questions as we can. And who would like to kick us off? All right, we'll start with Zach up front. So let's say they're going to let you off early. Tim's arriving. I know, yeah, right? All right, now we're in business. Good. Are you working? There we go.
Zach Jarniel at NASCAR.com. Denny winning the pole by a thousandth of a second and now having earned three straight oval poles. What do you make of the speed that you guys are having on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to continue to underplay it, but we got very fortunate that the last 12 cars had full sun, 100% sun. The last few had, you know, probably like 90%, but that was the deciding factor, because as we saw, like right after I went, the track just, it definitely got hotter, and it seemed like the corner speeds of those guys started to slow down. I think that if there was one more car behind Ty Gibbs, they definitely would have beat us, but because it went full shade. So we got fortunate there, but they did a really good job with my car overnight. We worked for a long time with the team trying to figure out what I need to go faster and execute around here. We did a mock run yesterday. That was helpful for me to kind of get a good balance check. But generally, it's like, you know, these are great racetracks for us. And typically, I have a really good feel of what I need. Yesterday, the balance was as far off as I've been in quite some time. And a lot of that is just the test is, I think it's different for everyone, you know, that was more for Toyota and getting information for JGR and those guys. And so, you know, we didn't really work on balance a whole lot. And when we came here, our balance was quite a bit off. So we fixed that overnight and got that better. And, you know, I thought I ran a very conservative but solid turns one and two. Three and four didn't quite hit it great, but it looked like I got off of turn four better than the competition. So, I don't know. This is very surprising. Truthfully, I was actually maybe thinking that like I would take the rain out P19, but you know, once I ran the lap, I thought that, you know, that's going to put us somewhere in the top 12, and I was happy with that.
All right, Reed, and then Kelly, go ahead, Reed. You're good. Okay.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. What did the lap feel like for the first time back here running a qualifying lap since 2019?
Well, I ran a mock run yesterday on my last lap on the racetrack was a mock run. It still didn't match up to the race laps of the 2311 guys. They were so much faster. But it gave me a good balance check of what I needed. And so, you know, we made some pretty big changes from that moment to give me a heads up of what I needed today. So today, honestly, one and two felt pretty good. And then three and four, I thought that I missed the bottom, didn't do great, but it was just good enough.
Okay, Chris Knight, and then up front to Jordan. Go ahead, Chris.
ChrisKnight.com. Denny, does it mean anything for your list of achievements that you're the only driver to win a pole at both Chicagoland Speedway and the Chicago Street Course?
Chicago Master, what can I say? I'm going to go run the street course here in a few hours. Maybe I'll learn a few things for next year.
Jordan, go ahead.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Are you paying any attention to the Hendrick cars? They qualified. They had three in the top ten today, and it seems in recent weeks they've kind of picked up their game a little bit on these core tracks, if you will.
I would agree with you. I've said that they're right there. They're right there. When I raced them at Pocono, I think that was the last oval, right? Pocono. I could tell. I raced every single one of them, and they were. Their all-out speed was faster than what we had. We just, I thought, had a little better balance than what they had over the course of a run. So, I think my personal opinion, Kyle Larson's the best driver at this racetrack. So he's going to be someone we're going to have to contend with, and I'm sure all the Hendrick cars are.
A stupid question, but when you have qualifying speed, how hard is it to carry over what you have in qualifying to the race for 400 miles?
It's not much. So many of our qualifying on these types of tracks have been, somewhat of an impound where you can change some things. But, here, when I ran my mock run, it was the same as it was in the race run for the first few laps. So to me, it wasn't, I think what we learned overnight is something we'll definitely take into our race tomorrow.
All right, we're going to go Matt Weaver, who's in the far left here. And then we have a question over here to the right.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. From a racing quality or racecraft standpoint, is this place more of a Charlotte in the sense that there's just the steady, bumpiness, or more of a Texas where there's a handful of bumps? Like, from the standpoint of, like, when you guys race side by side, is this going to be a kind of a perilous race on restarts where there's the potential for things to happen when you go over those bumps in one and three?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, once you get past that one in turn one, that is, it seems like it's actually bigger the further up that you go up the racetrack. Once you get past that, the corner is actually pretty smooth, relatively smooth. So I wouldn't suspect there'd be too much trouble with our cars, maybe the O'Reilly cars, just simply because of their aero platform. You probably have to be a little bit more careful being beside someone that hits a bump. The next gen car, it just, we're able to run closer side by side and not lose control as much. So I don't think it'll be a huge issue. Three and four is going to be, the minute someone decides that they're going to hold the guy on the bottom hard and low, and that guy's trying to accelerate over the bump, that's where you could potentially see something. But that'd be the one spot that I would be careful, given the guy the extra foot that they need.
All right, go ahead.
Zach Moore from the Bob. Denny, you talked about your podcast that you and Rennick, you guys get together. You help them on the ovals. You help them on the road courses. Corey Heim calls you. You give him advice there. I was recently listening to the Heather Gibbs interview with Kelly Earnhardt, and she said that Heather said that you're a toolbox full of knowledge during those competition meetings. So it seems like you do help people. You do give them advice. But I went and listened to the Carl Edwards interview last year, and he said that he wished he was able to pick your brain more, where he felt like you didn't open up as much to him about what makes you so good. And then that same, when they were talking about that, Dale Jr. said there was a certain line you ran at Darlington, and he was a broadcaster. He asked you about it, and you didn't say anything about it. You weren't going to give that stuff away. So is it fair to say there was a time where you were much more quieter about what made you so good at places, and now maybe as you're getting older, later in your career, you're opening up more to what makes you better?
Yes, I think it's very valid to observe that. I think that it's Joe Gibbs Racing got younger. When I was a little closed off, Lamore, I had Hall of Fame teammates and Kyle Busch and Martin Truex, Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, on and on. Like, I was more just, let me hear what they got to say. You know, where I have a responsibility at Joe Gibbs Racing to, you know, and where I think I excel versus them is I understand what happens, what's the difference between Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And so that's, to me, where I feel like the advantage is, but I feel like it's my responsibility to let them know what I think that they're going to fight tomorrow because of the inexperience that they have. It's why, you know, the Gibbs family values me as much as they do, is that, you know, I'm able to go out there and every time Ty comes over, it's, what about this? What about that? And, you know, same with the 2311 guys, you know, sharing information. I'm racing against myself, really, with those guys. So it's just part of the responsibility. And I figure, you know, while I'm here for this little while longer, might as well just open it up. And if they beat me, they beat me.
All right, we'll take one final question here in the red.
Justin Palmer, Medill Reports. Denny brought up the Chicago Street Course as well as 2311 having the Space Jam event at Navy Pier. Regardless of what the sanctioning body does next year with regards to the schedule, how do you, as both a driver and an owner, continue to try to grow and develop the NASCAR in the Chicagoland region?
Yeah, I think it's an important audience for us. I mean, even when we came here, there was three cars with no logos on them during the test. I mean, there was... And it was warm. I mean, there were probably 500 people in the stands. When I say 500, that's in the middle of the day, all during the day for 8 hours, watching three cars and maybe one car on the track at one time. Like, there's not much to see, but they've been wanting for us to get back into this area. And so I think this region is very, very important for us. And we need to keep this region in the schedule once, if not twice. This racetrack is going to race so well tomorrow that it'll be hard to say it's, you know, let's just go back and take it back off the schedule. But they're up against it, right? There's only so many slots that they've got in their schedule, and we certainly can't add more. So I think that this racetrack just races really, really well. And if you look, they did a great job getting it ready for us to be here. It feels like Kansas, looks like Kansas. You know, they added a few coats of paint to it, and now we're ready to go race. So I really love, and especially the next-gen races on mile and a half are just better. And so it's hard to leave a track like this that's got some wear on it, some character, off your schedule going forward. And I appreciate Ben and his team putting it back on the schedule after all these years.
And just a quick follow-up, you know, given the difference between the two tracks, you know, how do you, you know, give fans who were at that street course a bridge to, you know, come on over and experience more of what's traditionally known as a NASCAR or its bread and butter track?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go there tonight and just hold a flag, say, come to Chicagoland tomorrow. All around the city, I'm just going to wave it. I might climb one of those tires like those people did and put a NASCAR flag.
All right. With that, we will officially end the press conference. Congratulations, Denny, on the poll. Best of luck tomorrow.